Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So we're in the heart of the playoff run here, and Tristan Thompson's played in the NBA for almost a decade, number 4 overall pick. 4 straight NBA finals. He knows all about playoff basketball, and he is now joining us live from his, I don't even know what you call it. It's not a studio. It's like, it looks very academic. It looks like
it's like a study.
A study. He's in a study, very professional. So it's funny. I was watching last night, Tristan, and Denver's a really good young team, and they're a bunch of kids. And 6 minutes left, Doc goes, timeout, and he gets all the veteran guys around him. He's like, all right, let's go, flip a switch. You've been in those timeouts late in games when you're trailing, Tristan. And is there a sense sometime when you're a veteran team and it's like, all right, guys, 6.5 minutes left, let's go. And it looked like they literally came out of the huddle and they were just physical and they were pushing and – what are those huddles like late in games for veteran teams who trail and should be winning but aren't?
Yeah, I remember those. I remember those very vividly. Usually it'd be either T. Lou or LeBron come in and slap the towel down and say, yo, let's stop playing around. Let's handle business, man. Like, this team is not trying to do what we're trying to do. We got bigger goals. This is just a little minor roadblock, so let's handle business. So, that's exactly what the Clippers did. You saw the switch just turn on when with Kawhi with the mid-range pull-up, him coming off the pick and roll, hitting Montrezl Harrell down the lane, and just show you right there with Pat Bev getting the steal. Like, they just turned the switch on, and that's what championship-level teams do. When the going gets tough and it's time to get buckets or get stops, they're going to figure it out and make a way, like that three right there by PG.
You know, it's interesting, though. I do think the good teams have been more inconsistent in the bubble. Toronto, who's always kind of consistent all over the map. Milwaukee's down. Lakers have been either really good or really bad. Clippers don't play 2 great games in a row. And I wonder, Tristan, is it a bubble thing? Is it everybody is so out of their norm that it is kind of overwhelming? All you do, I mean, I can't figure it out, but it does feel like the good teams are not very consistent in the bubble. You talk to players. What do you make of it?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think Toronto is probably one of the most consistent teams for the last couple of years in terms of just playing hard for 48 minutes and competing at a high level. And like you saw against Boston, they just didn't look like themselves. But I think with the bubble, like you said, guys are just out of routine. You know, you're used to going to practice and coming home and being around your family and kids and, you know, having family dinner and just kind of having that routine, which is kind of like in this bubble, it's gone. It's just from, you know, arena to the room, to the meal room. It's like almost like an AAU dormitory feel, like you're in college. So I guess you're right with that. But I think, like, at the end of the day, there's no excuses, right? You know, if your team is supposed to be, you know, on the top in the league and trying to win a championship, you got to be ready to play. And if it's whether it's turn the switch on or get some extra rest or go fishing, whatever it is to get your mind, body right, you got to be ready to play.
What's wrong with Westbrook? It feels psychological to me. I think, you know, it's like anything in life. If you struggled with something in life, and then all of a sudden a year later you're struggling with something that you've previously struggled with, it gets in your head. And I think the game's gotten into Russell's head right now. He can't even hit free throws. Have you ever experienced something like that? If you ever, all of a sudden, you have a 4 or 5-game stretch, you're just not right mentally. What's wrong with him, and do you understand it?
I think, yeah, I've been there before. I've had 4 or 5 games where it's like, man, I just can't get these double-doubles. You know, as a big man, we count all our double-doubles. Every double-double is like a golden nugget to us. So for me, when I go through times that it really comes down to, like, your teammates, coaches. But for you as a player, what you could do is just, like, just make sure you stick to your routine, whatever your routine may be. So for me, it was, like, shooting 90 on the clock. Make sure I'm out there on time. Going through my routine. Don't shortcut it. Just go through your routine like every other game the same way. But also, I think it comes down to, like, in the playoffs, there's adjustments, but also it comes down to coaching, like, how can we get the best Russell Westbrook? How can we get him going early? And kind of similar to when Paul George was struggling against Dallas, you know, Doc and T. Lou ran early plays for him to get him going. So I think for D'Antoni and their offense against the Lakers, how can we get Russ easy buckets early? We know Russ's talent is, you know, getting an open core. You know, give him a single side ISO where he can kind of back down KCP in the post and kind of get an easy bucket. Because, you know, once they see the ball going through the rim one time or you get an early dunk or early mid-range pull-up, it goes in, you start feeling confident and you start feeling like, okay, I got my legs under me. I'm ready to go.
Do you still like the Lakers to win it all? Aren't you worried about Danny Green's inconsistency? Kyle Kuzma looks at times lost. I mean, I don't know who their third best player is. Do you still like them to win it all?
Yeah, I still like them to win it all. At the end of the day, when you got LeBron and AD, you know, that's a dynamic duo that the league doesn't really have right now at all. So when you have a dominant positionless guy like LeBron, because we can't say he's a guard or forward, he's just positionless. And then when you have AD, who's a top five player and at the big man position, you can never count them out. I know, you know, KCP and D Green have, you know, they played well at times and sometimes they've haven't made their shots. But I think the way that they're winning, and which makes them, in terms of like a opposing team, in terms of like scouting report, you don't really know who's going to play well as their third star some nights. You know, game two, it was Markieff Morris making all those threes. So if you're D'Antoni and the Rockets, do you go into the game saying, hey, when there's a pick and roll, Markieff Morris, are we going to blitz him or are we going to run him off the line so he can attack the rim? It's almost like it could be anyone's night. And for some reason, if you go back in time, Danny Green and KCP, when their backs against the wall, they always have a good game. You saw against Portland.
Yeah. By the way, Jimmy Butler, a year ago, I didn't understand why he left Philadelphia. I thought he maybe was a bad teammate. I thought he was hard to get along with. I didn't know how coachable he was. Now it looks like he made all the right decisions. It's kind of a transformation. Are you surprised how he's transformed not only his game but his reputation?
No, not at all. I think Jimmy Butler's got a lot of old school veteran leadership qualities because I play with LeBron, so, and I play with other, you know, really talented players, and everyone kind of leads and leads in different forms. But if you look at Jimmy Butler's resume, he went, you know, he was in my draft. He went from a late first round pick from being a defensive guy, making a couple shots to the Bulls, to being a cornerstone and them getting to, you know, deep runs in the playoffs, to going to Minnesota, being a lottery team, taking them to the playoffs, going to Philly, going to game seven against the Raptors. If Kawhi doesn't hit that shot, I honestly think that Philly would have won that series in overtime. So, like, Jimmy Butler's got this, his heart and his grit and his tenacity. Sometimes it rubs guys the wrong way, which causes people to think, hey, he's a bad teammate, he's selfish. No, it's just that he loves to win more than anything else, and that's his main goal. So with this Miami Heat team, I think with them having that culture that Pat Riley's instilled since Shaq and James Posey and D-Wade were there, him coming there was like it's like the perfect relationship because he wants to win so bad, and the Heat are all about no shortcuts, very militant. We're going to do this. We're going to do it the Heat way, and it's either going to buy in or we're going to trade you. And I think with them and Jimmy Butler, it was like the perfect match. So I think his heart and love for the game is trickled down to the Tyler Heroes, the Bam Adebayos. It's trickled down to all those guys where they're playing with this kind of like tenacity, this grit where like we're hungry and we don't give a damn who's in front of us. We're gonna take our lunch meat.
Yeah. So let's go back to LeBron. Lakers have been a little inconsistent. It's a veteran team, and LeBron mostly likes to play with veterans. That's always been his kind of thing. I don't blame him. LeBron wants to win now. It's year 17. He didn't have any interest developing young players.
A lot of times undefeated.
Yeah. And so I look at him and I look at this team and I think it's not a great free agent year. The cap's coming down. It's not a very good draft. And I look at this and I think this is kind of his guys. And I don't know if this old team is better next year. Could I make the argument? This is LeBron's team. This is the chance to do it. Giannis is now injured. The Celtics have had injuries. Golden State basically is resetting the franchise. Dame got hurt. Could I make the argument this is the last year potentially LeBron can win a title?
I wouldn't say it's the last year LeBron can win a title. I think if you look at the front office and look how this team's constructed, and I know LeBron, you know, he wants to win. Every year he plays, he wants to win a chip. I think this year is a great opportunity for them to win. So I think this year their mindset is kind of championship or bust. But I think, you know, with this team, you're right. It's kind of made up how it's made. But he's got to, you know, LeBron's always done better with less. And everyone's always said that. You know, if you look at the Cavalier teams when he had Boobie Gibson and Mo Williams, you know, he's always played better. Or even us, like when we, you know, when Kyrie was down or K-Love was down, he's always brought the best out of players. So I definitely understand what you're saying. I think for this team, the key is, you know, the Kuzma of the world, the Danny Greens, the KCP. Those guys are going to be so huge in terms of them getting to where they need to get to, because a lot of people probably still think, you know, Clippers are a better team, but I'd have an argument to say I believe the Lakers are.
Tristan Thompson, 9 years in the NBA. You look great as always. Thanks, bud, for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You bet. The three-word AFC game, NFC tomorrow, will be just around the corner. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we talk about DeAndre Hopkins' deal today. Kareem Hunt has also agreed to an extension with the Browns.
Okay, he has.
It is reportedly for 2 years and worth $13.25 million with $8.5 million guaranteed. That keeps him under contract in Cleveland for the next 3 seasons. They also have Nick Chubb under contract through the 2021 season. Now Kareem Hunt under the contract till the 2022 season, so
they
have their running back situation shored up.
They better win. They got way too much talent not to win 9-10 games. I mean, I'm not picking on Baker, and I do think they'll win. You start stacking up the teams that have two good running backs, two good receivers, two good tight ends, two good tackles. There's like four. Maybe four. This is one of them.
This is significant. People forget, I think, how good Kareem Hunt was with the Chiefs. Obviously, he only played in 8 games last season because of the suspension. He had 43 rush attempts, 179 yards, and 2 touchdowns last season, plus 37 receptions for 285 yards and 1 touchdown.
He's a great player.
Tied his career high at 5.8 scrimmage yards per touch. So, yeah, this is significant, especially because he is technically the backup to Nick Chubb.
Right.
So that's a pretty good situation. I don't know that they're necessarily going to split touches, but can't ask for a better running back situation than that if you're Cleveland. I'm with you. I'm just going to wait on all Cleveland predictions until I see what happens. I bought into all the hype last year. I don't know why, because I should know better, but now I have to wait. I do like everything I'm seeing and hearing from Cleveland this year.
Actually, you're not hearing much, which is why I like it.
That's why I like it.
You're not hearing anything.
I don't need to hear how good you are. I heard that last year was a mistake. It was fake news. And look, like, last year was a completely ridiculous, like, we can be honest about it now. It was a ridiculous situation.
Right.
The whole thing was ridiculous.
Right.
This year, I feel better about it. I like that I'm not hearing anything. I just want to see them go out and do it.
Yeah.
That said, I do have sympathy for Baker Mayfield. I mean, look at what he has had to deal with since he's come into the league.
It's not easy. I mean, that's the downside to being like a number one pick.
Yeah.
You go to a bad team
or a dysfunctional team.
Right.
So cornerback Tre'Davious White agreed to a 4-year, $70 million extension with the Bills that will make him the highest paid corner in the league when it goes into effect. And he got very emotional when he was talking about his life-changing extension.
When I was able to finally call my parents on three-way, and I told them, I was like, I never told you guys this after I got drafted, but I can finally say that we did it. And once I told my dad and my mom that, it was a whole load that was lifted off my shoulders, because I knew that I could retire my parents and they'll never have to worry about anything.
This is what's great about sports. It literally, you know, this is one of the reasons I've actually, forget COVID for a second, that I understand mask wearing. One of the reasons I'm into college football, pushing through this,
right,
is that.
Yes.
There are dozens of young players who will not play in college football this year who need the year to get drafted. Now, there's about 10 to 12 players in college football that can opt out.
And they're still going to be first.
Yeah, I mean, the left tackle for Oregon, you know, he's top three pick. Like, there's, you get about 12 guys a draft, you're like, okay. But this is what, you know, did you know who this guy was 7 years ago? Like, he needed to play college football. And I know it, you know, all the doctors and the epidemiologists, listen, 24 and under humans in great shape in America. This is what makes sports great. It literally changes generations of families.
Yeah,
sports matters. It's not pithy.
$55 million guaranteed.
Yes. That's a lot. That's a
It's generational money. Yes,
you can eat chicken wings in Buffalo every night of your life if you wanted to. You never have to take a night off. You can afford anything you want.
Because it's guaranteed.
Any Applebee's in Buffalo for the rest of your life.
No, it's great, and I love seeing videos like that because it does kind of help to put in perspective that you know we get very callous talking about the moves and trades and deals and numbers and Dak and this and that and DeAndre Hopkins and millions. And it's like there are really people's lives being affected by this. It's so much bigger. I agree with you. The college thing is huge. Like, there's just certain things. I mean, Joe Burrow is a perfect example of that. If Joe Burrow did not play college football last year, we are not talking about Joe Burrow.
Does not. I would argue Joe Burrow either doesn't get drafted or he gets drafted. Look at Joe Burrow's career before last year.
That's the biggest knock on. That was the biggest knock on Joe Burrow going into the draft. Yeah,
Kyler Murray.
But he only had one great year.
Kyler Murray's the number one pick. If he doesn't play, he's a baseball player. I mean, seriously, Baker Mayfield. You'd be like, one good year.
He's in a different sport.
I mean, it's like you, this guy now changes everything. His kids, his mom, his dad,
the rest
his parents.
Of his family. Yeah, it's amazing. So finally, NFL players swapping jerseys after a game has become a tradition in recent years, and the league informed players how they will be able to continue that tradition this season because of COVID. Players must inform their equipment manager that they want to swap jerseys. Then the equipment manager will remove the contact tracing device from the jersey, clean it, and then ship it to the opposing club's equipment manager. The league is also partnered with Tide, which will cover the cost of one replacement jersey per player. So they have a whole system. Now, look, I know people are saying, oh, this doesn't make any sense. They're going to be tackling each other and running into each other and grabbing each other. So what difference does it make if they exchange jerseys at the end? My point is this. Whatever makes anyone feel comfortable or more safe or any kind of extra precaution that you have to take, just do it. Because, look, everyone in the bubble is COVID-free, right? But still, 80% of the people in there are wearing masks. Why? It's just something extra to help. Like, it's fine. People are like, well, it doesn't make any sense. It all makes sense if it helps a little bit, right? It doesn't even matter if it doesn't help. Just let them do it.
I don't like wearing a mask, but I just do to lubricate society.
You think I want to cover all this up?
No kidding. Look at this thing. You don't want to cover this face up. It's like a moneymaker.
To cover it up. No, I don't either. But of course I'm going to wear a mask because it's what we're supposed to do. And this is just another little precaution that they're taking, but they are going to still be able to exchange jerseys.
So have we had a positive test in the bubble yet, NBA bubble?
No. And I just saw, let me find it because I just retweeted it, that over the last week, one confirmed positive of over 2,000 players in the NFL. And they're not in a bubble.
And they're, by the way, they're not in a bubble.
Yeah. It's really remarkable.
I'm gonna throw out my prediction. I had somebody call me this morning. Big Ten's going to play by mid-October.
Yeah?
Who called you?
Somebody,
Kevin Warren?
Somebody way up the food chain.
That's kind of a dramatic thing to drop on America, Colin.
What?
I mean, because you have good sources, so you really think they're going to do that?
I think the Big Ten is looking at the NFL testing, and they're looking, I think people in the Big Ten, I think there are two very powerful people in the Big Ten that are saying, time out.
We moved too soon.
This is what I'm hearing. I'm not making predictions, but I was told this morning two very powerful people in the Big Ten are looking at the landscape and the testing. I mean, these NFL players are banging up against each other. They're going home. They're with their family. No tests.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't shock me. And I wouldn't actually hold it against them, I don't think, because everyone's just trying to do the right thing.
I always said that. Listen, all these sports I thought would work, like UFC's an island, I thought it would all work. The college football, I just said two things. The Pac-12 will bail at some point. They're timid. And the SEC will bulldoze through it.
Right.
After that, though, you're on a campus.
It's very complicated. You can't compare college sports to anything else.
My daughter's a college student. She's going. There's no classes. She's not going to classes. It's online. They're just making crap up as they go. So I'm not blaming anybody on this. But I will say this. I would be... And I'm not even going to make a prediction. All I'm going to tell you right now is the arguments in the Big Ten are intense, and there are powerful people on the side of, we went too soon. Two very powerful people. And I'm not even talking coaches. I'm not talking Harbaugh. I'm not talking Urban Meyer. I'm talking way up the food chain.
Okay.
I love breaking stories. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Deliriously fun. I don't know why I like it so much. The three-word game. We're doing the AFC today, NFC tomorrow. That's coming up next in Best for Last.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Happy fifth anniversary to us. Today marks the exact day The Herd moved from the East Coast to the West Coast and from a former company to my current company. Congratulations, us. We're still on the air. We're doing, going strong, and it's been fun.
It's crazy. It's been 5 years. It's been almost 5 years since I've been in L.A. It's really wild.
Yeah. It's been a unique 5 years.
It has. Well, this is probably the most unique of the 5 years.
I drove to work one day, and the hills were on fire in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it looked like a movie scene. It looked like something out of Lord of the Rings. It was crazy.
But most days it's 72 and sunny, and that's why we're here. All right, here we go. It's called the three-word game. I believe teams can be described succinctly and easily. And we're going to do the AFC today. So I always love the three-word game, and here we go. Let's start with Buffalo. Allen digs it. Josh Allen gets Stephon Diggs, 1,000-plus receiving guy in back-to-back years. Now, Josh Allen is big and can run. He's got 17 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 years. That's more than even Lamar Jackson. Big arm. They didn't have a deep threat last year. They've got one. I do think they win the division. Miami. Still Tua early. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 38, 16th season, got the starting job. Tua will play. My guess is early November, the schedule lightens up. Arizona in a couple of games against the Jets. They are rebuilding their offensive front, and the early schedule has a lot of really good pass rushes. So I'd rather see the bearded one take the hit than Tua, who has a well-chronicled injury. New England, Bella checked out season. 8 players opted out, most in the NFL. Toughest schedule, only returned 5 defensive starters. You can't tell me the most intelligent, manipulative, and well-planned coach is just winging it. I believe this is part of a 1-year restructuring to land a college quarterback. New York, flight's been delayed. Jamal Adams gone. C.J. Mosley opted out. It's been a weird camp where wide receivers, most of them, have been injured. Running backs injured. I have very low expectations. By the way, it's not easy opening with the Buffalo Bills. That's a tough opener for Sam Darnold. Baltimore. Ravens lose nevermore. I think they have a chance to go 16-0. Won 12 straight to close the regular season. They had a point differential of plus 249. So this is a powerful team that's going to win a lot of football games. How about Cincinnati? Cincinnati would be your average Joe. Joe Burrow is now the quarterback. Bengals have scored fewer than 20 points in 11 of their last 16 games last year. Number one overall quarterbacks. Only one has had a winning record as a rookie, Andrew Luck, who you didn't like and I loved. Your average Joe. Cincinnati's not going to be very good this year. Cleveland, Baker's fourth coach. 12 straight losing seasons, dysfunctional ownership in front offices. I like the offensive talent, and I think I like Kevin Stefanski. But even if you're a diehard Browns fan, don't you just have to kind of stay quiet and wait and watch? Quarterbacks who go into their third season with their fourth coach, you got to be a little concerned. Pittsburgh, steel curtain closing. Missed the playoffs for back-to-back seasons for the first time since 2012-2013. Big Ben is 38 years old. Do they have a dominant number one receiver? They usually do. The offensive line is good, but in spots it's getting old. I kind of feel like, as Joy often says, it's still a good franchise, but the last half decade, it's mostly about underachieving. Let's go to the AFC South. Houston. Huge ton of money. They just paid Deshaun Watson. They should have. But here's more troubling. 106 sacks in the last couple of years, and that's for a guy that's as mobile as anybody. When you pay your quarterback, finally, there will be some limitations surrounding the quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins is gone. I just think there's too many good teams and well-run AFC teams. I don't think Houston's a playoff roster right now. Indianapolis, Rivers and rookies. Well, their passing offense was 30th in the NFL, so they went and got Phillip Rivers. Really good offensive line. But I think the key to this, can Jonathan Taylor, the rookie running back out of Wisconsin, and Michael Pittman, the rookie wide receiver out of USC, I think these are really important players because the offense last year outside of T.Y. Hilton was not terribly dynamic, not very vertical. So Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, the old quarterback and the kids, keep your eye on the kids. How about Jacksonville? The Jaguars select. Fox Bet gives the Jags the best chance of having the fewest wins on any team. 8 years of losing out of the past 9. They've gotten rid of most of their good players. It's fairly obvious what they're doing. Our second selection would have been tanking for Trevor. I think we know what the Jags are doing. How about Tennessee? They don't pass. Derrick Henry has increased his carries and rushing yards in each of his last 4 years. The Tennessee Titans, basically in the playoffs, took the ball out of the hands of Ryan Tannehill, which I don't think is the wrong way to do it. They did add Jadeveon Clowney. So, you know, this is a team that likes to run, will run, and is increasingly running. Let's go out west, AFC West, Denver. Lock you up. Drew Lock, 4-1 to end the year. Broncos' fourth different week one starting quarterback in the last 4 years. John Elway, since Peyton Manning, is doing his best to find it. It is not an easy position to solve. I do think Drew Lock has the arm, kind of the let it rip mentality, confident, little cocky that I like. And I really like their tight end, running back, and wide receiver weapons. We forget Melvin Gordon came over from the Chargers. They're good. How about Las Vegas? A Gruden awakening. 6 losses by 18-plus points. Derek Carr, 5 losing seasons in the past 6. Last couple of years, their record, 11-21, including a ton of blowouts. Los Angeles, need a change. Listen, one of 2 teams, the Cowboys or the other, that were top 10 in offense and defense and missed the playoffs. Oh, did I say need a charge? Oh, yeah, my bad. Need a charge. Not need a change. Need a charge. The players are there. We know the players are there. Top 10 offense, top 10 defense. That's not, it's like Dallas. We know there's talent there. They need an infusion of something. Is it Justin Herbert halfway through the year? We don't know. Derwin James out for the year. Not good news for Los Angeles. And finally, Kansas City. Ready, set, go. 10-plus wins in 5 straight years. Listen, we forget this. Andy Reid was winning before Patrick Mahomes. They just weren't winning at the next level. So there's our 3-word game, AFC, NFC tomorrow. You know, what's really interesting about that, so Andy Reid came out yesterday, and he was saying, you know, because people asked him, they're like, you won a Super Bowl. You know, you got some young stars, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Travis Kelce's fairly young. Do you think you'll get a little ahead of yourself? And he's like, listen, man, we couldn't go out and party. It's called a pandemic. Nobody left their house. And what's really interesting about Kansas City, I was thinking about this, Joy, we forget, even Patrick Mahomes, 11th in completion percentage, 7th in passer rating, they trailed in all 3 of their playoff games, including the Super Bowl. Their defense was kind of a wreck until about week 10, week 11. I don't think we've seen close to what Kansas City could be. And that's not a – like Baltimore, I feel like I've seen what Baltimore looks like at their best. They just weren't at their best against Tennessee. But I've seen what Baltimore can be when they were blowing people out by 20 and 30. I think Kansas City is got a lot of football to finish up. I mean, Patrick Mahomes admitted. He's like, I just kind of figured out how to read an NFL defense. So his accuracy will get better. You know, you forget, had Miami not upset New England in week 17. Mm-hmm. Kansas City was a third seed.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So it's you know, I think Kansas City has, and that's why I think they'll be hungry. I don't think San Francisco does either. I feel strongly both the Niners and Chiefs are around for a lot of years. We'll see you tomorrow.